Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Well, we have issues with the trainer first. We have to see who's healthy, and you know, there's going to be special teams considerations. We got a lot of things to consider, so I'm not going to say too much today, but there were some guys that got a great opportunity for three straight weeks to showcase where they are, what they're capable of doing, and we'll do what we think is right for our team.
Well, that was John Gruden on Sunday at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara after the Raiders closed out their preseason game and started immediately looking ahead to the decisions that were looming on their 53-man roster, which was set today, although I'm not going to quite say it's set in stone, and neither should you. Yes, the Raiders made their final cuts to get down to the 53-man roster, but there's a lot of flexibility and leeway from this point moving forward, and over the next couple of days are going to be really critical in terms of, A, who ends up on the injured reserve list. They had to wait until today, till after the deadline, till after their 53-man roster was set, to put a few players on injured reserve in order to preserve their eligibility for this year. So guys like Nicholas Morrow, Jalen Richard, Javon White, maybe Keshawn Nixon, will get further clarity on this hopefully tomorrow when we talk to John Gruden. But those guys are hurt right now to some extent or another. And maybe for a couple of those guys, it might be extended stays or games that they're going to miss. So and the Raiders want to bring them back at some point. So waiting until after they set their 53-man roster to put those guys on the injured reserve, they now have the flexibility to bring them back after three games minimum, if that's, you know, how many games they're going to miss. So you figure two of those roster spots, maybe three, maybe even four, could end up opening up here pretty soon once those guys, you know, however many of them, go on the injured reserve list. So keep that in mind. Also, a whole bunch of guys, once they clear waivers, will be back in some form or fashion, whether it's on the 53-man roster. I'm talking about somebody like a Trey Regis. If Jalen Richard has to go on injured reserve, then Trey automatically becomes a favorite to come back after he clears waivers, if he clears waivers. If not, B.J. Emmons is a possibility as well. Remember, for players that are put on waivers today, a guy like Trey Regis or B.J., if a team claims them, they're going to have to put them on their 53-man roster. So you have to wonder, okay, did either of those two guys impress so many, a team or multiple teams around the league to the point where they want to claim them off waivers and automatically put them on their 53-man roster? I'm not so sure that that's the case. So if you're the Raiders, you're playing a little bit of a high wire act by exposing them to waivers with the idea, one of them at least, of bringing them back to your 53-man roster or your practice squad. Remember, the practice squad is now 16 players, and I suspect and I predict that a bunch of guys that they put on waivers today and cut today are going to be back in the building as soon as Wednesday or Thursday as practice squad players. And remember, of those 16 players that you have on a practice squad now across the league, four spots are protected. That's as opposed to years past, where if somebody wanted one of your practice squad players enough that they wanted to put them on your 53-man roster, they could come in, swoop in, and just take them. Basically, with the offering the opportunity to come, you know, if the Detroit Lions wanted such and such player, they can who's on such and such team's practice squad, they would swoop in and say, hey, we want to take you off the Raiders practice squad and put you under our 53-man roster, and you have the right to do that. Now, players can say, no, I'd rather stay here. That's not going to happen too often, because there's a lot of money. There's a big difference in money being on a 53-man roster than a practice squad roster. But some guys, you know, would and still will do that. Rare, but it sometimes happens. However, now after COVID-19, you know, rules were put in last year, now of those 16 players, teams can protect 4 of those players, meaning nobody can just swoop in and say, hey, we want to add you to our 53-man roster. You could do it with 12 of the players, but there's 4 that are off limits. And so when you look at the 53-man roster, look at it as really 57 players, because eventually, once the Raiders sign those 16 players to their practice squad, 4 of them are going to be their property and their property alone. So it's really a 57-man roster. So expect a bunch of those guys back. I would also expect the Raiders are going to be scouring the waiver wire in order to potentially bring in a offensive lineman, maybe another tackle to strengthen that area, maybe another linebacker to strengthen that area. But otherwise, I think they're fairly set. You know, I mean, there might be somebody that's out there that's so compelling as a cornerback, maybe, or a defensive back, that they say, hey, you know, we would like to, we're gonna go ahead and claim somebody off waivers. We'll have to wait and see. But I think the positions to keep an eye on as far as waiver claims and potential trades are that offensive line and the defensive backfield, linebacker. So we will see. If you guys have any surprises, I don't necessarily think there were a lot of surprises. Yes, I think John Brown and Carl Joseph, as we look at it in totality, yeah, those two are surprises. But we sure saw the writing on the wall on Sunday when both not only made the trip to Santa Clara to play, you know, when the Raiders closed out the preseason against the 49ers, not only did they make the trip, which a whole bunch of guys didn't, but they actually played extended minutes. So Carl Joseph and John Brown, I think on Sunday, their fates were foreshadowed just a little bit, because I know we were up in the press box going, huh, Carl Joseph and John Brown aren't just out there. They're playing a lot. So it kind of gave you an indication that John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and the rest of the coaching staff wanted to take one last look at both of those players to decide, hey, are we missing something? Are we overlooking something? Maybe, you know, we've been reading the situation wrong. Maybe we need to keep them. We're going to give them one opportunity to kind of change our mind. But obviously that didn't happen. And in the case of John Brown, it sounds like anyway, based on some reports out there, that John Brown, the veteran wide receiver, went to Mike Mayock and John Gruden and requested his release. Now, I've put some questions out there to try to see if the player comes to the team and says, hey, you know what, it's not working out for me for whatever reason. I'd rather try to figure out a better situation elsewhere. So whether you're planning on keeping me or not, what I would like to do is just request that you release me so that I can, you know, go find a better situation for myself. Now, in that situation, I don't know this to be true or accurate or the case, but I would think anyway that in that kind of a situation, especially with the kind of contract that he has, which isn't a lot, but it's significant enough that you would think that the team has a little bit of recourse there, because if not, then the Raiders are going to be on the hook for the entire $3.5 million that he was guaranteed, some of which has already been paid. I think there was a signing bonus that, to my knowledge, has already been paid. But there is a salary north of $1 million that was part of the guaranteed $3.5 million when you add in the salary and the bonuses, all those bonuses and whatnot. So I'm wondering if the Raiders at least get a little bit of relief where that salary is no longer guaranteed, is no longer paid to John Brown, and certainly is no longer reflected on their books. But I don't know what the case is or what the situation is in that kind of a case. I'm trying to find out. But John Brown was a little bit of a surprise in totality, not so much recently. I think we saw the writing on the wall, same with Carl Joseph. Lot of people talking about Roderick Teamer, the young safety that is on the 53-man roster, and kudos to him for taking advantage of his opportunity. All I know is this, you know, when you're at training camp and you're watching day after day after day, and I caught myself so many times doing this. Who the heck's 33 again? Because he kept showing up, kept showing up, kept showing up. And I have to be honest, there's certain guys that are firmly on your radar, and there's certain guys that aren't necessarily on your radar. And so they can go overlooked a little bit because they're just not players that you think, you know, there's camp bodies, there's guys that are, you know, trying to put some film out there for future use. And you, in your head, as you're, and this is a lesson not to do that. It's easy to sometimes get caught in that trap, but to be honest with you, Teamer is a case of teams a lot of times, and the Raiders in particular, they're looking to they're trying to figure out ways to get the best 53 players out there, period, exclamation point. John Gruden said at the very beginning of training camp, doesn't matter to me if you're a first-round pick, second-round pick, free agent, undrafted free agent, guy that we just signed, you know, off the street, whatever the case might be, whoever proves that they're the best players are going to get a roster spot. And so a guy like Teamer, who, again, wasn't necessarily on my radar, but I can't tell you how many times during the course of a roster or during the course of a practice, I had to look at my roster to, oh, yeah, that's Teamer again. Who's that? Oh, wow. Who's that? Oh, that's Teamer again against the Rams. Obviously, he was part of the big fight. He was showing a lot of fight out there, no pun intended. And I think that more and more, and over the course of day after day after day, practice after practice, going all the way back to OTAs, he just kept showing up. And to his credit, he took advantage of an opportunity. Now, I think it also helps that he has a Gus Bradley background. He played one season in 2019 with the Chargers. I think I want to say he started 6 or 7 games in that season, and you know his numbers in those starts weren't all that bad. So, and he was a young player at that point, still is obviously, but was 2 years younger at that point. So he's somebody as a safety that has some history with Gus Bradley and with Ron Miles, the new DBs coach. And so, again, credit to him for taking advantage of his opportunity. I also want to give a lot of credit to Amik Robertson. And I say that because this is kind of evidence, more evidence of why last year was so tricky. So I think a lot of young players were done a major disservice last year. And you could say the same thing for kids in high school, college, everywhere. Because of COVID-19, so much of last year was just out of whack, all right? And so here's Amik Robertson last year, drafted by the Raiders in, the 4th round, coming out of Louisiana Tech, was a really good outside safety in college. Probably, you know, when you were projecting him into the NFL at his size, 5'8", 5'9", you're probably thinking, all right, you know, he, at that size, he had the physical toughness to maybe move inside, where he's not going to be playing against bigger wide receivers. A lot of times in the slot, you're slotted up against, you know, smaller, quicker wide receivers, Hunter Renfro, those type of guys. So I think the natural assumption was at his size coming out of college, earmarked for slot cornerback duties. And that's what the plan that the Raiders had for him last year. But without the benefit of an offseason and OTAs and all those practices and a very minimal amount of just a very altered, minimal, fast-tracked training camp, and then no preseason, I think a lot of guys, and Amik Robertson falls into that category, just got kind of the short end of the stick, and their progress and development and transition was stunted and affected majorly as a result. By the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Embajador Tequila, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on cut down day, as the Raiders officially get down in their 53-man roster for now. But getting back to Amik, you know, in his case, it was all just a little bit too much. And so I think his year as a result was dramatically affected. I don't think he ever quite took to slot cornerback. There were a lot of reasons behind that, one of which was the lack of preparation, the lack of building a foundation in the spring and carrying that into training camp and then getting out on the field during preseason, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but because of that, I think he sort of fell off everybody's radar. And, you know, we're very, very quick to make assessments and snap judgments and onto the new shiny toys that are you know, waiting under the tree in the next draft or the next free agency period. And sometimes guys get left in the dust from a perception standpoint. Well, Meek Robertson, I believe, was kind of fit into that category. And I think even in his own mind, he felt that and understood that and understood, hey, I need to really take advantage of the opportunity in terms of getting back to a regular offseason, a real OTAs and everything that comes with it. Because all I know is the player that we've been watching over the course of training camp and in the preseason looks just a lot better. You know, I'm not predicting any kind of a Pro Bowl season for Meek Robertson, but I think that when used and when utilized, I think he's going to be able to be, he's going to prove to be a capable player out there. And really that's what you're looking for, especially in the role that he's going to have for himself, which is a backup cornerback. And I think that the Raiders also kind of understood that, you know what, maybe he's just not suited to play that slot cornerback position. Maybe he's better suited just stay where he was in college on the outside. And he's played the outside quite a bit during the preseason and in training camp. We saw him on Sunday play both spots, outside, inside. He was also just creating havoc on special teams. Every time I looked up, you know, he was making a play or had his nose around the ball on special teams. So I think that really helped solidify things. So for a guy like that, and we talked to Amik about this, just, you know, staying with it, not losing your confidence, understanding, hey, it didn't work out that first year, but that doesn't have to be the end at all. Just learn from it and understand, you know, the areas that you need to focus on. Maybe it's getting your head back in the playbook, watching, learning, observing, listening, taking better notes, whatever the case might be. I think that Amik Robertson did exactly that. So credit to him. He makes the 53-man roster, and I think he's here to stay. Obviously, if you're looking at that rookie class, you know, you've got a day one starter in Alex Leatherwood, the first-round pick from Alabama. You've got a day-one starter in Trayvon Morig, the second-round pick, the safety from TCU. You've got a day-one starter now in Nate Hobbs, the slot cornerback from Illinois that just kind of wowed everybody over these last couple of months, even going back all the way to OTAs. And I think you've got potentially a rotation player in Tyree Gillespie, who, you think about it, between Teamer, Gillespie, and Morig, I think that's who pushed Carl Joseph out of a roster spot, the veteran that the Raiders brought back this offseason, and, you know, gave it a go. I think the Raiders gave him every opportunity, Carl Joseph, to stick with this team. But, you know, when you've got some young players that are showing that they can be contributors early on, it makes those decisions a little bit easier. So the Raiders are going young at safety, but potentially really, really good. So an interesting day so far. Again, my recommendation is don't fall in love with that 53-man roster just yet. I think there's going to be quite a bit of tinkering over the next 48, 72 hours or so. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Monsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Tuesday. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador before we get back to talking about the Raiders 53-man roster. And Raider 27, I know you're waiting. I'm going to get to you in just a second. My producer, Damon Cotton, has an important message to relay.
Oh, yes, this is very important for everyone who's going to be attending those Raider home games starting up on Monday Night Football, September 13th. Don't forget to download the Clear app, you know, so we can all enjoy that game day experience. You know, the Raiders want everybody to be safe. So fully vaccinated attendees will not have to wear a mask while inside Allegiant Stadium. That's a plus. Those who are partially vaccinated will be permitted to attend games, but will be required to wear a mask. And guests ages from 2 to 11 will be required to wear a mask. Excuse me. It's a mouthful. But anyone over the age of 12 and older, must provide proof of vaccination. The Raiders have partnered with the Clear app to make it safe for all attendees. You just must provide that proof of vaccination for all home games to attend Allegiant Stadium. You can get started by downloading the Clear app. It'll just take about 5 minutes. And all you need is your ID and your CDC vaccination card to complete your Clear Health Pass. For more information, go to Raiders.com.
Yeah, so basically you can download your vaccination card into the Clear app so that when you get to the game, you just scan your Clear app and all the pertinent information, and in the game you go, into the stadium you go, and you don't have to wear a mask. So check it out. More information at Raiders.com. But that Clear app is going to be a critical component to us having a whole bunch of fun this year and staying healthy first and foremost. So we'll be you know, relaying that message from time to time as the season goes on, and probably throughout the season. So just be aware of that. Go get the Clear app. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line or listener line. Raider 27 is on the line. Wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Raider 27?
Hey, Vinny, even if it takes time off my call, I think this is more important. I downloaded the Clear app. It took 5 minutes. It was so easy to do. It was amazing. It's easy to use. I've been practicing it because I get to go to the stadium. I'm all excited. Man, everybody get vaccinated. I talked to my doctor yesterday and asked him, you know, what do you think? I'm going to be in a stadium full of people. I've been vaccinated. Should I wear a mask? He said, you know what? You've been vaccinated. Go enjoy it. Have a good time. My wife works in ICU. Very, very, very seldom do they see anyone that's vaccinated, even in the hospital, let alone ICU. So please get vaccinated and make yourself safe. You know, I mean, don't make this something you dig your heels in on. Get safe. Get healthy. Let's beat this thing. We can all do it if we do it together.
I completely agree, Raider 27, and you know, we're seeing some deaths that could have been prevented by people who were, you know, real hardcore proponents of, you know, not getting the vax, and you just hate to see that. You hate to see preventable deaths straight out. And you know, this isn't a cure all by any stretch. We all know that, and science changes, and there might be a need and will be a need, I'm sure, for booster shots. But the way I look at it is, whatever the science, wherever the science leads, however many booster shots I have to take, I'm going to get them, because I want to live. I want to enjoy my life and my family and all that, and all the great blessings that we have in life. That's the only thing that I don't care if it's Republicans, Democrats, Martians, aliens from Pluto that are you know, behind all this. It doesn't matter to me. What we should be focused on is the good that it does, and you know, the health that it preserves. So I'm with you, Raider 27. Do you have a question about what happened?
You know, I just wanted to, you know, I'm going to try not to ramble. It's a bittersweet day for me always, because if any of the players are listening, I want to thank all the guys that didn't make the team. You guys worked so hard. You tried so hard. You've been at this so long. And you are all elite athletes. If you are on the 90-man roster, you are an elite athlete. There's no reason for you to hang your head or feel bad. You are an amazing athlete and an amazing person to get this far. Most people don't. I was very surprised that Derek Carrier got cut. I was amazed that I was sitting there watching the games, and then after, they kept Nick Bowers. Who's that? That's 82. oh, wow, that guy kept, oh, yeah, man, I kept thinking, how are they not going to keep that guy? And another one was Teamer. You know, I never thought he had a chance to make the team, but every time I would watch these games, and I can't grind tape because the NFL doesn't have all 22 out, but I literally watch the TV copy over and over and over and over, and it's like this guy keeps showing up. You know, so I think I read a thing on Twitter about the Raiders, the Raiders not drafting, how poor they. I think Mike Mayock and John Gruden are doing a very good job of drafting. If you in a draft can draft three starting players, that is a very successful draft. If you can get three starters and a substitute, man, you're killing it in the draft. You know, so I'm excited about this young team. I think they're going to continue to get better every year. I think they're on the right track. I hope nothing stupid happens when they blow this whole thing up right now, because I think we're close to being a really good team that's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, it's young. It's extremely young team with some, you know, quality veterans, I think, sprinkled in. Even Unique Ngakoue, what is he, 27, 28 years old? I'd have to go back and look. So a newcomer that's, you know, in his wheelhouse. Corey Littleton still, you know, in his wheelhouse. Nick Kwiatkowski still in his wheelhouse. You know, guys are starting to, you know, kind of come into that the second and third year. Guys like Max Crosby and Cleve Farrell and Trayvon Mullen. You know, Jonathan Abram, you have guys that are in that category that are starting to make their move in their careers. Like you said, you know, if you look at this roster, it's a John Gruden, Mike Mayock roster. And there's a bunch of guys that they have found in the draft these last 3 years that are 4 years, really, if you go back to Colton Miller, that have big roles on this team, that are the heart and soul of this team. And then you sprinkle in some of the key, you know, free agents that they've brought in, you know, your Casey Haywards and your Kenyon Drakes and guys like that, to add some experience and add some veteran, you know, mentorship and leadership. It has the looks of a pretty decent roster. And I think that defensive line room, you know, to me, Kendall Vickers has played well. I think he's a strong candidate if he's not claimed, which if I'm a team, he's not a bad guy to have as a young development defensive lineman that can, you know, you can rely on him to play for you right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does clear waivers, if he's brought right back, whether it's on the 53-man roster, depending on what happens with some of these injured players, or certainly as one of those four protected practice squad players. So, but the fact that a Kendall Vickers, who made the team last year, doesn't make the team this year, along with a Matt Dickerson, guys that you kind of figured had a pretty strong chance of making this team if you just went by what they've done in the past and where they are in their careers. But, you know, when you get a Gerald McCoy, when you get a Quentin Jefferson, when you get a Solomon Thomas, when you get a Darius Filon, all of a sudden, guys are getting squeezed out. Good players are getting squeezed out. And I think this defensive line from top to bottom is pretty darn good. And it'll be interesting to see how good it possibly can be. I didn't buy any of the notion that, you know, that Cleve Farrell was on the bubble or Carl Nassib was on the bubble. All I can tell you is that every single day at practice, you've got a four-man starting defensive line of Max Crosby, Quentin Jefferson, Jonathan Hankins, and Unique Ngakoue that plays, you know, takes 4 or 5, 6 reps in 11 on 11. And all of a sudden, here comes their replacements, full four-player replacement group of Cleve Farrell, Carl Nassib, Darius Filon, and Solomon Thomas. And now you throw in a Gerald McCoy into that equation. He's going to be part of that 8-man, 9-man rotation. And it looks pretty darn good when you start thinking about it. Like, though, that's your backups. Gerald McCoy, Solomon Thomas, Carl Nassib and Cleve Farrell are your, and Darius Filon are your backups. That's not a bad group to have coming in relief. And they're going to play a lot, as will the first group, so that and we've been talking about it all offseason, ever since they started making some of these moves that they've made along the defensive line, the whole goal is to be able to be in a much better position late in games to close out the deal and over the second half of the season. And Gus Bradley's defense, how many times have we talked about this? Gus Bradley's defense is predicated on creating pressure, consistent pressure, play in and play out from the defensive line, from the four primary pass rushers. Sometimes that can change. You're dropping guys into coverage and you're bringing in a cornerback, whatever the case might be. But the key is to get pressure throughout the game from that front four. If you can do that with what's really a front eight or front nine, now that Gerald McCoy is back in the thick of things, that's all the better, because it ensures or helps ensure that play in and play out, you have a relatively fresh defensive lineman squaring off against an offensive lineman who, as the game goes on, starts getting a little bit more tired, a little bit more fatigued, because they're not rotating in and out. They're play in and play out. And I know that it's probably a little bit less taxing playing offensive line than defensive line, but when you get down to the fourth quarter and you have guys that are much fresher than they have been in the past trying to get after the quarterback, I think it's just going to help so much. And I think that component, coupled with I think what they've done on the back end, and when their linebackers get healthy, what they're doing at linebacker, and don't sleep on Denzel Perryman. If he can stay healthy, now you're talking about Nick Kwiatkowski, Nicholas Morrow, Corey Littleton, Denzel Perryman. That's not a bad four-man rotation right there, and I think that that's going to be the consistent one. And then you have a Tanner Muse and a Javon White and a Divine Diablo potentially sitting there in the wings. So again, nice mix when you're talking about the linebackers now between Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Nicholas Morrow, and Javon and Perryman. That's a nice little mix of four veteran linebackers, and behind them some youth and potential in Tanner Muse, in Javon White, and in Divine Diablo, the rookie from Virginia Tech. So those guys will continue to stay sort of on development tracks, backing up pretty good veteran players. So, and not all of those guys, once it all shakes out, once everybody comes back healthy, not all of those guys are going to dress out every game, but they'll be on the roster and they'll be ready to go when called upon. So I like when everyone gets healthy. I like where the Raiders are at linebacker, much better than in years past. I really like where they are much better than in years past along the defensive line. And when you start looking at Mullen in the backfield at one cornerback position, Casey Hayward, Nate Hobbs as your slot cornerback, Trayvon Morrig, and Jonathan Abrams as your safeties, potentially a pretty good group. Now, Jonathan Abram certainly has to show up and has to take that next big step forward. And waiting in the wings in case that doesn't happen is a guy like Tyree Gillespie, is a guy like Roderick Teamer, who opened up a lot of eyes. So there's young guys that are biding their time and trying to get better and developing behind those guys. I mean, nothing against Daylon Levitt, and we'll see what happens, with him. I know that he has special teams value, but I think so does Tyree Gillespie. So does Teamer now. And they're just better players overall as potential regular players if it comes to that. So I just think that this roster is in a much better place. Now, offensive line, I like the starters. And I think that this rebuilt offensive line has a chance to be pretty darn good with, once everybody is healthy, once they get back Richie Incognito and then Andre James, Denzel Good, Colton Miller, Alex Leatherwood as your starters, not a bad offensive line at all. I'm a little bit sketchy at offensive tackle with Brandon Parker. We'll see if the Raiders take a look outside their building at what might be available on the waiver wire or maybe even in a trade to strengthen that group. I like the backups. I like John Simpson. I like Nick Martin. I think Nick Martin as your backup center and as probably a swing guard if he gets the call in that regard. And obviously John Simpson, who kind of came back a remade man from last year, his rookie year coming out of Clemson. I think, you know, his opportunity will come, and I think he's going to be a good backup to have as the guard. I just worry a little bit about that tackle situation. We'll see where the Raiders go in that regard. As far as your running backs go, Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, I think that's going to be a upper echelon kind of a running back rotation in the NFL. Look what's going on with the Rams. They're trying to find, they've got guys that have gone down. They've lost some guys and they're kind of scrambling a little bit at the running back position. I think the Raiders are fairly set at that spot. And you've got Alec Ingold as the fullback. We'll see what happens with Jalen Richard. I think that, you know, a Trey Regis fits into there somehow, some way, depending on what's going on with Jalen. You look at the wide receivers, Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards, Hunter Renfro, the starters, Zay Jones, and Willie Sneed as the two guys coming off the bench. Do you want to bring in a sixth wide receiver? Does Dylan Stoner or does DJ Turner make the team in that regard? You know, if they clear waivers, we'll see. But right now, I think they really like what they have in Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards, and it's time for them to really show up starting September 13th against the Baltimore Ravens. Going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Papa Pete, Papa Meech is on the line. How you doing, Papa Meech?
Hey, how you doing, man, Vinny?
Doing really good. Real quick, what do you got?
Okay, well, listen, I just wanted to ask you, this has got to be a bittersweet day for the coaches. They've been around these players for, you know, several months. But I had a question for you as far as, you know, during the draft, the teams talk to each other and do little trades behind the scenes. So when they're picking their players, they kind of know what's happening. Does any of that go on kind of right now before the deadline where, let's say, someone says, hey, Raiders, you know, you need help here and we like somebody on your team? Is there any of that stuff that goes on behind the scenes like that?
As far as trade talks?
Yeah, as far as before the cuts happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt there's conversations like that, but then you got to match up on you know, compensation, and you want to just do a straight swap. So, yes, we saw some trades today across the NFL. The Raiders haven't partaken or gone down that road. I wouldn't rule it out, but I think they also want to really take a look at how things shake out on the waiver wire. It would not shock me if they put in some waiver wire claims, and we'll see, because that's the next shoe to drop over these next couple of days, is if the Raiders are rewarded or awarded any of these players that hit the waiver mark. All of our listeners and all of our callers, a short show today, but we'll be back at it tomorrow, regular time, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Monsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, and we'll have Lincoln Kennedy back with us tomorrow and some special guests that we have on the docket. Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM Tuesday. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow, 4 to 6 PM. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about. Similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.